It's time for High Plains Public Radio's weekly program, Growing on the High Plains. Here's Skip.
Some time back, I had occasion to eat at an upscale restaurant in Colorado Springs, and I ordered a cold plate of shrimp with mango sauce. When it arrived at the table, it was artfully garnished with two large daylily blossoms and was accompanied by the waiter's advice to enjoy. It looked delicious and turned out to taste the same. In fact, I ate every morsel on the plate, scooping up the last bits of mango sauce with the last lily petal and wishing there were more. Since then, I've begun to look at my flower garden and indeed my fruit orchard and vegetable patch in a new light, for I've been delving into the idea of flowers as a food source. I started with reading assignments and found the history of edible flowers to be somewhat murky. Evidence of their use can be traced back to medieval times, but most references have to do with medicinal purposes, as the blossoms were considered herbals to treat internal ills. Then there's also the issue of poisonous plants, and the list is virtually endless. In fact, one could become quite suspect of numerous plants in the garden that had seemed innocent bearers of beauty. Fortunately, I found a most useful guide in Rosalind Creasy's excellent book entitled Cooking from the Garden. A firm believer in avant-garde gardening and eating, her writing has helped me decipher some of the mystery of safely preparing and consuming flowers. I have long been aware of the use of squash blossoms in the kitchen, especially in Italian and Mexican recipes. I've even seen them being sold in the large farmers market in Denver. Quite often, they're dipped in egg and quick-fried to a crusty crisp, or stuffed with ricotta cheese and baked like a floral lasagna. But the list of possibilities for cooking with flowers goes far beyond these culinary basics. Some popular choices you can grow in your own backyard are nasturtiums, lilies, roses, violas, violets, and tulips. Add the blossoms of most fruit trees and herbs to the list, and you have the beginnings of a floral greengrocer. However, be aware that not all varieties of flowers are tasty, so it's best to do just that. Taste a petal or two before embarking on a recipe, and by all means wash gently and submerge the flowers underwater to see if anything with legs floats to the surface. This may sound creepy, but it's better than having something creepy crawl out of your salad. Another good rule of thumb is to eat only the petals. Discard the stamen, pistils, leaves, or stalks, and stay away from the white centers and bases of roses and other flowers, as they can be extremely bitter. If you're the adventurous type and want to enter the world of edible flowers, get a start with herb blossoms. Instead of just using the foliage of anise hyssop, chives, or basil, extend your harvest to include the flowers. Lavender flowers can flavor ice cream, and bee balm blooms are good in salads and soups. And if your inquisitive nature is matched by your patience, try making candied flowers to decorate a special cake for a special occasion. This age-old art was developed in the European courts and involves crystallizing tiny whole flowers or petals of larger flowers with a coating of egg white and sugar. So whether you're interested in either fresh or frosted blossoms, always remember that as you travel life's highways and byways, always find time to stop and eat the roses.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and narrated by Skip Mancini, and it's produced by Brian Burrell. To hear more Growing on the High Plains, visit hppr.org.